You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm really excited about this one. I love horror movies. I love horror films. I love the horror genre. And truth be told, I'm probably a little bit more of an 80s horror fan. However, we are in the middle of our 90s bonus collection. We didn't get to do 80s horror, so I said, well, I got to do horror, so I'm going to do 1990s horror. And I got a couple epic film guys, so to speak, along to help me. So I'm a little nervous as to how I'm going to hold up here amongst the company that I have. But I want to introduce the panel that I've asked to come along and join me to count down our top five horror films from the 1990s. Like I said, a couple of epic film guys. You know this guy if you've listened to our bonus episodes before. He's been on. In fact, we did something a little similar, although we didn't narrow it down to parameters of years. But last October, Justin and I counted down the top five scary movies to watch in the dark, which was a lot of fun. And he also did 80s teen movies with me. Welcome back, Justin, from Epic Film Guys. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm in total horror mode right now. I can't tell you enough. I just saw Hereditary last night. And today, the brand new Halloween trailer landed. So I'm like in total horror everything mode. I don't give a shit what era. I'll talk all things horror. So thanks for having me back, man. It's definitely something I look forward to.
Absolutely, man. It's funny that you mentioned that because I'm not sure when this is going to air, but just so everyone knows, just so everyone knows, the night that we're recording this is the night that they released the, I guess you would call it, reboot of Halloween. The official trailer came out today, and when I scheduled this with these guys, I didn't know that the trailer was coming out today, so it just such a symbiotic thing that worked out that's so beautiful. So it is awesome that we're able to discuss horror on the heels of that. And then we got our good buddy Brian Loy joining Two Peas for the first time. I'm a big fan of Loy Sauce. I catch him on Epic Film Guys all the time. Loy, welcome to Two Peas, man. How you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of your show as well, and I'm honored. What can I say?
Awesome, man. Glad to have you. We have a little bit of a connection, too, because I'm addicted to the Alamo Draft House by me. And you, of course, I work at the one up there, right, in Virginia, or in the D.C. area.
That's right. I'm the creative manager and programming director at the Ashburn, Virginia location.
That's awesome, man. So we have a little bit of kind of an indirect connection there because I am hooked on the Alamo. It opened up a couple months ago here in my hometown. So
it's a magical place.
It really is, man. And it's great. It's great to have you here as well. And I know you're a big horror junkie also. So I'm excited to see what you bring here. Before we get started, guys, I mean, 90s horror. What do you guys think? I mean, how does that stack up to, let's say, like 80s horror? Justin, you want to go first?
Comparing the two is like apples and oranges, I think, because a lot of the franchises that went into the 90s that were popular in the 80s, none of them remained successful in the way that they were in the 80s. And it was just a different vibe to all of the films in general. I mean, there's some great horror in the 90s, and I really take offense when people say that the 90s sucked for horror, because I thought there's a great amount of movies of the genre. And obviously for me, that's the era where I started getting into horror the most. So I kind of hold it near and dear to my heart. But I mean, it's definitely, I mean, for me, I think that I agree with you in the sense that the 80s is like the renaissance for the horror genre. I mean, we got another horror film every week. You know, you can go to the video store and pick out a horror film you've never heard of and watch it, and it'll be a blast. And it's just, in the 90s, it wasn't as much like that, but there was still a lot of low-budget horror, and I still think it's a great time for horror movies as well. So, while not as good as the 80s, still a great fun time.
Right, right. I had a lot of fun coming up with the list. Loy Sauce, what do you think, man? Are you more of a fan of 90s horror, or are you just kind of, whatever speaks to you, doesn't really matter what the year was?
I grew up in the 90s. So for when a lot of these movies came out, I was but a wee little baby boy. So I've caught up over the years, and I found it really hard to narrow my list down. I was surprised. I'm a big fan of 80s horror, but looking at all the horror movies that came out in the 90s, it's tough to narrow it down to your top five favorites.
I agree with you 100%, man. It was tough for me as well. I've got about 12 to 15 or so listed here, and I had to narrow it down to 5. So it was not easy, and I hope you guys don't scold me too much on a couple of them, but hey, we'll see. I like my list. I guess that's all that matters.
You've got me curious, man. You've got me really looking forward to what you have on your list.
All right, let's see. I tell you what, Justin, what should we do here, man? So you and Loy are the horror aficionados. I'm not, at least as far as talking about it on a regular basis. So I'm going to go first. You guys cool with that?
Sure, man.
I'm going to start things
off.
It's
your show.
Because I want you guys to kind of be the finale and the climax, if you will. So let me get started with my
climax.
Hey, there you
Brian,
go.
Brian, don't get dirty here. This isn't the epic film, guys, okay?
So I'm going to get started here. Now, this one, Justin, you and I have actually talked about before in a different program, and it's actually come up a couple times on a couple other shows I've been on. We were mentioning the fantasy movie draft earlier before we started recording, and our good friend Justin Winters over there and Chrissy. I drafted this movie in the 1999 movie draft. In my opinion, it is a pioneer for an entire genre, which there's something to be said for that. I'll go ahead and say it and get it out of the way and let you guys comment. But my number 5 is The Blair Witch Project from 1999.
I am so, so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. And I insisted on everything. I insisted that we weren't lost. I insisted that we keep going. I insisted that we walk south. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up. And it's all because of me that we're here now. Hungry. And cold and hunted.
The reason I was a little worried about this is because I feel like, Justin, I want to say it's been so long since we discussed it last, but I feel like we talked about this, but it's kind of a lot of division in the horror community for this film and, you know, what it meant to the horror genre. I personally love it, and I think part of the reason why I loved it is, you know, in 99, I'm much older than much older than Loy Sauce. Justin, I'm older than you as well. But in 99, I was, I was born in 75, so I can't really do the math there. I was like 24, 25 years old. I thought this was real at the time. Like, I bought into the hype, and of course, you guys know what I'm talking about, the kind of guerrilla marketing that they did.
The marketing was great for the film, yeah.
Right. So my sister and I went to see it. We both thought it was real, and you leave the theater going, holy shit, these poor people, and this, what they went through, and this, it was just so creepy, and I couldn't sleep that night because I did think it was real, and, you know, you see horror movies, and we're going to probably talk about some of these characters that have become infamous, but you never really think it's real. You know, you kind of always know it's a movie and it's made up and it's pretend. But when you can, quote, witness something and you think you're witnessing an actual event, I mean, that's fucking scary, man. So at the time, that was how it hit me. And I respect it because it was able to convince me. And it was impressionable on me. So I want to hear what you guys have to say about the Blair Witch pick there.
I'm going to talk about the Blair Witch at some point during this podcast. So I have nothing to say.
Oh, I knew that was going to come.
That excites me. That excites me.
No, you and I talked about this, Gerald, when we talked about horror months and months ago. It was the first movie in my entire life that I went to see in the theater that I fell asleep.
You told me that.
It wasn't that chronic either. I mean, that was part of it, but at the same time, it just wasn't my type of movie, but I definitely appreciate it for what it was. However, I also kind of hold a grudge against it because it kind of brought out all of those really shitty found footage movies that we started getting, you know, chewed out of Hollywood constantly, and none of them were nearly. I mean, all right, I'll give the Paranormal Activity movies a pass because the first couple of them are pretty effective, but for the most part, for me, I want to see actors. I want to see things beautifully shot. Like, found footage just isn't my style, but I definitely appreciate it, but I don't personally like the Blair Witch Project.
I'm with you.
And I would never watch it again didn't have to.
And I do remember you mentioning about how you fell asleep. Yeah. Now that you say that. But Yeah, I love it, man, and I stand by the pick. I put it at number five. I didn't want to get too crazy, so I put it at number five on my list. But number five, the Blair Witch Project for me. I tell you what, let's go over to Loy Sauce next. Loy, you ready, man? What's your number five horror movie from the 90s, brother?
The complete opposite spectrum of a found footage movie. We have something gothic. We have something visually astonishing. It's Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1992.
Okay, well, we might as well just talk about this at the same time because you just took my number five.
I told you there'd be overlap. We have the exact same taste.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, well, you go first, Loy. What do you love about it, man?
People like to rag on this movie because it's the movie that Keanu Reeves does a British accent, and it's really bad.
And
it's really bad.
It is really bad.
Make no mistake about that.
I know where the bastard sleeps. I brought him there. To Carfax Abbey.
The rest of the performances in the film, though, Gary Oldman as Dracula. Oh, yeah. Iconic performance. I mean, no one can beat Bela Lugosi, of course, but Gary Oldman brought a sexiness, a romanticism to the proceedings. And this movie has just some of the most amazing visuals in a horror film, especially a modern horror film. They bring weird psychosexual elements into it.
Oh, yeah.
It's bloody as all hell, which I love. It looks amazing in 4K remastered Blu-ray on a big screen.
Yeah. It's on my honorable mentions. This movie was always unique to me. This is also a film I drafted when I was on the movie draft, which is funny. But this movie was always so cool to me because I can't think of another film or story, if you will, horror is so romantic. It's a romance, you know? And
it's almost like horror and romance are the same thing in this movie.
Right, right. It's very unique in that way. And to your point, Gary Oldman is just phenomenal. Probably one of the top three performances of his career in this movie.
Definitely.
In my opinion. But great pick.
It's messy, and a lot of the creative choices I don't necessarily agree with. But for its ambition and just how it looks and sounds and feels, I adore it.
Awesome, man. Good pick. I'm going to let Justin go ahead and piggyback and talk about what he loves about it, because that's your number five, yeah?
Yeah, it is my number five. And no, he's not looking at my list.
I'm not.
His list based off of my list.
I'm not.
I actually used my list for the 90s horror movie draft that I already had kind of compiled months ago. I don't know how long ago that was, like a year ago, and just kind of changed it around a little bit based on my current taste. But no, I mean, this is a movie that I recently just purchased on Ultra 4K Blu-ray, and I just realized how gorgeous it looks, and it's very ambitious, and it's also one of those horror films of the 90s, one of the only horror films of the 90s that really goes to that true gothic depth of like really what we think of as a Dracula movie, but it's so grand. The sets are beautiful. The makeup job is just like stunning, and Francis Ford Coppola has gone on record and said he went out of his way to do everything practically, so almost every piece of special effects you see in the film is a practical effect to the point they could actually make it in when they made the film. So everything is as real as possible.
Also, werewolf Dracula rapes a chick, so there's that too.
I mean, I can't not love a movie that has that in it. So, and Oldman, of course, what you guys were saying, Oldman literally just oozes charisma the whole fucking movie. I love this movie. And yet, it's not a perfect movie, but personally, for me, I think it's probably my favorite Dracula movie. Just saying. That's that's me.
Wow.
I mean, I love the original. I do. But like for me, as far as rewatch value is concerned, yeah, I'd rather watch Coppola's. I mean, I don't care if Keanu Reeves wouldn't. The guy's made of wood, man. He's a fucking log, all right?
I could see that. It's probably my favorite as well, although I haven't seen the original in so long. That's not fair to say, but I would immediately...
The original's very slow. It's good, but it's very slow.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, good pick, guys. So already having crossover over there, which I guess, like Loy said, is to be expected. All right, let me give you my number four, guys. Okay, so my number four is an iconic horror character, one of the most infamous slashers in cinema, and it is my favorite appearance of his in the 90s at least, and that is from 1994. It's Wes Craven's New Nightmare, of course, featuring Freddy Krueger. So that's my number four, guys. I just rewatched it recently because I knew we were going to be recording. I hadn't seen it in quite a while, and I gotta say, I still really, really enjoyed it. I like the kind of menacing approach to Freddy here. I like the cameos in the film. They're kind of cheesy, but they kind of mean a lot. Like Wes Craven specifically being in the movie kind of cracks me up.
Yeah.
Playing himself, and obviously not a good actor, but it's just kind of funny to me. Heather playing herself in the film, you know, as the character she played Nancy in the Freddy series. Robert Englund playing himself, you know, that was just all really cool. And it was kind of like, is it a movie or is it really happening? And they kind of blur the lines there where the script is becoming reality. And then you have kind of the climax of the film at the end when we get to see the really kind of what I read, actually, and I'm sure you guys know this, you two do. But what I read is that, you know, this was Wes Craven's kind of initial conception for Freddy. You know, this is what he kind of originally saw him as, much more of a dark figure in the original series, which I love, truth be told, that he's kind of a comedian. I love that. And I love his kind of witty banter. But Wes Craven wasn't originally going to go in that direction. So it was cool that he was able to kind of bring out his real Freddy, if you will. But yeah, New Nightmare from 94 is my number four. How do you guys feel?
I feel like I'm going to be talking about it in a few minutes.
Okay. My number four pick is Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
There we go. Is it really?
I swear, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, you can't see my list, so I believe you. So go ahead. Why did you pick it, Loy?
I watched Wes Craven's New Nightmare for the first time, not last Halloween, but the Halloween before. That's when I had the religious experience of watching through all the Nightmare films for the first time. I'd seen the original plenty of times when I was younger, but going through the whole series, this is almost like Wes Craven saying, step aside, this is how it's done. Like all of the other sequels, they're just playing. This is the real deal. You're playing with the big dogs now, because it does blur the line between fantasy reality, and it makes it much more harrowing and real. The horror is palpable in this movie. I don't think it's perfect. I think Wes Craven tests the audience patience on how many times he can show an earthquake on screen.
Yeah, that's true.
There's so many scenes of earthquakes. We get it. We understand earthquakes.
Yeah, they were in California. Did you know that?
I mean, I have a story about that when I get to it on my pick, though. There's a reason why there's so many earthquakes, but I'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay, I'd be interested to hear that.
But that's nitpicking. I also feel like, again, I know you feel differently, Justin, but I don't care for the Freddy Krueger makeup in this movie. I think it looks like a Halloween mask. He doesn't look like... Yeah. But there's some great stuff in this movie. The final confrontation with Freddy in that hellish dreamscape that he's chasing Nancy and her son around in. That's a terrifying sequence when his tongue comes out, and it's all great. And I think it's really smart, really intelligent, and that's the beginnings of Wes Craven exploring the kind of meta nature of horror movies and really delving into that. And he delved into it again in the 90s, and we might be talking about another film that he did later on.
Really?
Okay. Sure. We might. I'm teasing it here.
Nice.
But.
Nice.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, he's a horror master, so I kind of hope we do. So, but I'm glad to see we crossed over. So far, our lists are exactly the same. Is that what I'm? Well, not exactly the same, but we have a couple crossovers. Justin, you want to give us your number four, man?
Dead motherfucking alive. All right. Yes. It was one of the first movies that I watched as a young teen on my own. I was at my buddy Nate's house, and his dad was a huge horror aficionado, the likes of which I wish that I could be even to this day. Like, I just had like the hugest collection in his little den area. It was just all horror, science fiction. And one night he was watching the movie, and I watched it with his dad rather than my friend Nate that was there. And he came down like halfway through it and was like, "Oh, you've never seen this?" He's like, I've seen this like three times since I was 10 years old. Just, I had never seen gore. Like, I actually saw Dead Alive before I saw Evil Dead. So if that says anything about it, like, it was one of the first movies where I saw gore just literally all over the screen in the most glorious fashion possible. And, I mean, what's there to say about this film that hasn't been said? It's a very strange movie. It's definitely a horror comedy.
Funny as hell. Yeah.
It was really funny.
I mean, when I go back to thinking about watching it for the first time, being like 13 years old and ever seeing anything like it before, I definitely like knocked the wind out of me, and like, I was like, oh my God, they make movies like this? And the ending is just literally like any gore hounds, like that's...
Wet dream.
Thanks for finishing my sentence. You have it right there. It's like eating a bowl of Cheerios in the morning, you know? It's that delicious.
That's an interesting analogy, but I'll take it. I know what you're saying. All right. Well, good pick, man. I haven't seen that movie in a long time personally, but I remember it. I'm glad that Lloyd said that because I remember it was hilarious. That's a, definitely a horror comedy, but I need to go back and revisit that one. You got me to do that last time too, Justin, because you mentioned The Strangers, which I hadn't seen, and I went and watched it like 2 or 3 days after that. So you have that effect on me, brother. So I'll be watching Dead or Alive soon.
Dead or Alive's in my honorable mentions.
Awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
Oh.
I love it. I view it more as a comedy than a horror film.
But there's so much fucking blood.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
It's funny, hysterical, but it's beautiful.
It's funny and horrific. All right, speaking of horrific, let me give you my number three. Okay, so this film came out in 99. It's the second 99 film on my list. And I had the opportunity to see this, and it blindsided me, okay, because I didn't really know anything about it. It played at, there's a little theater in Charlotte, North Carolina called the Manor Theater. It's been around for like 60 years or something. It's one of those kind of classic movie houses where they show just kind of weird cinema. And I got to see this, and it's a Japanese film, so there were subtitles. And I'm like, I'm not really into it. And it was just so palpable and so tense. And it really, I got to be honest, guys, it fucked me up. It's a film from 1999 called Audition, which is the English translation, from Takeshi Miike. Japanese filmmaker, horror filmmaker, kind of was in the Renaissance with like The Ring and The Grudge that were coming out of Japan at the time, which I didn't see till much later. I saw the American versions, but Audition was a really fucked up kind of journey are you guys familiar with this film? I assume you are, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, Audition's just, there's this really sweet Japanese girl that is just seems really shy and innocent, and you kind of feel for her, and you also kind of fall in love with her in the first half of the movie, and she's very timid and shy, and as the movie goes on, you kind of learn about her dark past, and the gentleman that's courting her ends up becoming the brunt of that, and it kind of turns into a term that's been coined like torture porn in horror movies. And it kind of turns into that a little bit, and it becomes a very, very gory, kind of hard to watch movie in the last 30 to 40 minutes of the film. But leading up to that, you don't really know what you're watching. And it really just kind of comes out of nowhere where she kind of just flips a switch and kind of turns into a crazy bitch. So have you guys seen Audition?
It's been a long time for me.
Yeah.
But I have seen it and I did love it. There was a point in time when a good friend of mine, my old roommate back in the day, used to get me into all the foreign horrors, as I call them. Mm-hmm. And that he showed me that as well as Old Boy and a few others. And at the mm-hmm. same, like literally in the same time frame. And I was blown away by it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's just such a, it's so tense, you know, and that's what I remember is like, you know, something fucked up is happening in the background and something's coming, but you don't really know what, and you don't know what you're supposed to look for. And they actually do a very similar thing that we were talking about with New Nightmare, of kind of blurring reality and movie. And they do a very similar thing in the last act of this film where he's falling asleep. And, or, you know, the protagonist will be falling asleep and he'll dream these horrible things. And then when he wakes up, it's like everything's okay. And then he'll fall asleep again and they go back and forth. So it's like you never really know if he's dreaming or if it's really happening. You don't know if she's crazy or if they're really together. So they kind of play with your mind a little bit that way, too. So it's a little bit of a mind fuck that way. But I would definitely say revisit it because it is a very just palpable kind of tense film. And I remember it did fuck me up when I saw it back in, I want to say I probably saw it in 2000 after it had been out for about a year or so. But great movie, Audition from 1999.
That should be a film club screening.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think we need more Asian cinema in general in my film club. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right, guys, let's swing it around to y'all. Your number three, Loy Sauce. What do you got, man?
I debated about whether or not to even include this film. I mean, I have to include this film because it's one of my favorite movies in general. But I don't find it scary. It's more funny to me. But I love Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow.
The horseman was a Hessian mercenary sent to these shores by German princes to keep Americans under the yoke of England. But unlike his compatriots who came for money, the horseman came for love of carnage. When battle was joined, there you'd find him.
I love it to death. When I first discovered this movie on VHS, I watched it over and over and over and over again. I just love, again, we're talking about gothic atmosphere. This film just oozes atmosphere. And you have Johnny Depp as Ichabod Crane. He's just like this complete nebbish, timid coward. And it's hilarious watching him faint every single time the headless horseman comes at him with an axe. And Christina Ricci is in the film. She's sexy as hell. She was one of my first, you know,
I know you're
childhood...
watching her cleavage. That's the whole movie. Her cleavage, man.
When I was a child and I watched this movie, it was one of my first, you know, crushes in a film.
Sure.
And I just love how it's completely silly and over the top. It was definitely Tim Burton's love of the old Hammer horror movies coming out, and it's really on display. Everything is meticulous, and there's some cheesy CGI here and there that doesn't really hold up very well. But I mean, the tagline of the film is "Heads will roll," and they
heads
do
fucking roll.
Amazing, spectacular fashion. Christopher Walken giving a wordless performance that's unlike any other movie performance that's ever been captured on film. So bizarre, yeah. So funny, so menacing. Those sharpened teeth that he has, those piercing blue eyes. I love this film with every fiber of my being. Doesn't really scare me. It scared me a little when I was younger, but now I just laugh at it and have a good time. It's the perfect movie to watch when it's Halloween season. You're eating your candy corn, you got your pumpkin beer, and you're watching Sleepy Hollow. It's so much fun. I love this movie.
Wow. That's awesome, man. I do too.
I didn't even think of this movie in that way, but I watch it every year. And I always talk about on our show how I remember seeing movies opening night in the theater. And that's one that I remember seeing because I lived in a small town and it was the only movie we had opening that weekend. And I watched it and I loved it and went back and saw it again the next day. I was a huge Burton fan before, you know, Planet of the Apes, of course. But
why doesn't Tim Burton make another movie like this?
I don't know. I really do love this movie.
He did Sweeney Todd, right? Was that Tim?
Sweeney
Burton?
Todd's great. No, I love
there's
Sweeney
there's
Todd.
Some great stuff he did after that. I'm kind of being a little bit.
No. I'm a Tim Burton. I'm a fanatic. You have to admit his output recently has not been.
Just wait
up
for
to
Dumbo,
the...
bro. Just wait for Dumbo. All right, Dumbo's coming.
I did hear about that. Tim Burton's one of my favorite filmmakers. Lloyd, did you know that? I've mentioned that on my show before.
He was my favorite director up until a certain point. Ed Wood is one of the greatest movies ever made. Dude.
Brilliant.
No doubt. I love both his Batman films.
One of my favorite movies is 89's Batman, and Pee Wee's Big Adventure is a perfect movie. I will argue that to my grave.
I guess maybe Big Fish. I think maybe after Big Fish, maybe stuff that came after that was kind of like, what are you doing? Did you see the Big Eyes? I never saw Big Eyes. What was the?
I liked Big Eyes.
Yeah,
I thought it was fine. Right?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Good performance.
I didn't see that, but I do love Tim Burton, so I respect the pick there, man. I'm glad Tim Burton got a little shout out here today. Sleepy Hollow, Lloyd's number three, and Justin, that leads us up to you, man, for your number three. What do you got?
My number three. Yes. You're right. You guys already talked about it. It's my number three because I love this movie. I actually debate on if this is my second favorite or third favorite of the franchise, but it is Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Only because of the fact that this has this rewatch value to it where I can just watch it any day of the week and be intrigued by it. I love, you know, how he goes all meta on it. And as well as like, there was never a horror movie like this before this, where you actually, you're living with these actors that played these characters and how these characters are haunting them and how it's affecting their personal lives and their families. That, and it is definitely, and you can fuck off about the makeup because it looks great. It's my second favorite visual look of the character of all time. I love it. And Wes Craven himself had said on record numerous times after the film was released, he went back and forth on whether he made a mistake on, you know, doing the German-esque, like Nazi style trench coat. He did not. No, he said he went back and forth on if it was a bad idea. No, it wasn't. I have like the 18-inch NECA figure of that version, and when you see the trench coat, when the hat's down and the claws up, it fits perfectly with the imagery. Yeah. And I think it fits with this movie. Would it have fit in the original or Dream Warriors or Freddy's? No, not at all. But this movie, it grabs those fantastical moments by the, like, it's just pure fantasy when it goes there, and it's pure horror when it goes there, and there's some great suspense. But you guys are talking about, we're talking about why are there so many earthquakes? Well, it's because during filming, an earthquake actually occurred in the area they were shooting. So all that footage of all those buildings that were like actually being, that was from an earthquake. So they went the day after the earthquake finished and they shot all that external footage of all those buildings because they're like, why waste this? It just happened. So that was happening at the time of filming, and they thought that was pretty eerie and like strange because they had already shot scenes where earthquakes were occurring, and then an earthquake actually fucking happened and it like destroyed a whole area of the town. So
that's interesting trivia. I just don't think there needed to be 15 earthquake scenes in the film.
It happens in California. Just move there. It's a very scary thing. You ever been in an earthquake?
I have experienced an earthquake before, yes, but nothing to the level of on the Richter scale of what happens in California. Respect to that, but
also one other thing about New Nightmare is I think that it's Langenkamp's best performance out of any of the films.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think she's a great actress to begin with, but she's great in New Nightmare.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's not like, let's be fair, I love the Nightmare series, and I have a lot of friends that they dedicate their whole lives to everything Nightmare, and they're huge fans of Heather, of the Nancy character. And I love the Nancy character from, you know, part one and part three. She's great. But let's face it, Heather's not like the best actress out of all the Scream Queens we've seen in these films, out of any of the franchises. But I think that New Nightmare, she gives a really good performance, and I think that's what holds the film together.
I agree with
that.
And
it kind of closes out that Nancy trilogy, too, of A Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors, and then New Nightmare. It's great to watch them as like a trilogy.
Dream Warriors.
I just got to see that on the big screen recently. It was awesome. All right, guys.
I came in my pants when I saw that film for the first time.
Oh, come on now. This isn't the epic film. I stopped talking all this dirty talk.
Okay. You can cut it out if you want, but it's true.
That's okay. Hey, that's high praise. I'll keep that in there. Let's see.
Thank you.
All right, so what are we up to? My number two, right? Lloyd's got me off track here. So my number two, okay, sorry. So I can't do a horror list and not talk about Stephen King, right? And this just made the cut. It is from 1990, and it's Misery. My number two.
You see, I've known for some time why I was chosen to save you. You and I were meant to be together forever. But now our time in this world must end. But don't worry, Paul. I've prepared for what must be done. I put two bullets in my gun. One for you and one for me. Oh, darling, it'll be so beautiful. Now, don't be afraid. I love you.
Kind of like on the heels of Audition, maybe you guys can see that I think the most horrible, horrific thing is a crazy bitch. But this is kind of the same deal.
You're not wrong.
Kathy Bates gives a phenomenal performance, probably the best in her career. Just so eerie, the juxtaposition of her as this wholesome kind of fangirl. And then on the other side, she's just off kilter, and she doesn't know the difference between reality, and she's letting her fandom kind of take over. James Caan is great in this movie. You obviously feel bad for him in the situation he's in, but it's just a horrific thing. Again, you can picture something like this happening in real life, you know, and that's why it's so scary to me. You know, I could see something like this happening in a rural town in the winter, and it. Stephen King has a knack for doing that and creating characters that you connect with. And I remember Misery really scared the shit out of me. There's some scenes that are hard to watch, which for me, I like hard to watch scenes, and I feel like it adds to the value of the film. So obviously the most iconic scene is probably where she breaks his ankles when he's in bed, and he's immobile in bed. And that is a image that is etched into the horror genre forever. I don't know. I just love Misery. I love Stephen King. And this is probably my favorite film of his to come out of the 90s, or that he wrote at least. So I had to put it on here. So it's my number two. How you guys feel about Misery? Any crossover there?
It's a great pick. I love the film. It's easily one of the best adaptations of a Stephen King work to film. Mm-hmm. Amazing performance by Kathy Bates. 100% agree with you there. I personally view it more as a thriller than a horror film. It could certainly fall into that category. It kind of falls under like Silence of the Lambs and movies like that, The Sixth Sense, where it's like, is it straight horror or is it more thriller, or is it a, you know, Sixth Sense, you could argue that it's kind of like a drama with a ghost in it. So to me, I view it more as a thriller, and that's why it didn't make this list. If this were like maybe top 10 horror, or if it were top 10 thrillers, then maybe I could see it making an appearance. But yeah, I adore Misery. Great pick. I agree with you there.
I could see that. And
I like
you know,
it.
You mentioned
I haven't watched it in years. It's been years. And Scream Factory just put out like what a 4K restoration of it as well.
Yeah.
I should buy it. I need to rewatch it.
You definitely should. One of my favorite movies of all time. I agree with you though, Lloyd. It's one of those that kind of toes the line a little bit. And I didn't put films like Silence of the Lambs on my list. Spoiler alert.
Or Seven. You could argue that Seven is a horror film or a thriller.
It's not a horror film. Right. God damn it.
I'm saying not. You could argue. Right. I'm not going to make that argument, but...
Right. And I didn't put those films on the list because I agree with you. Even though I love those movies so much, I would not put them in the horror genre. Misery to me, I do. Well, I guess probably because Stephen King's name's on it, maybe. Maybe that's why it's more of a horror to me.
That's enough reason for me.
But yeah, but I do love Misery, and it's one of my favorite movies to come out of the 90s. And I felt like if I was going to put it on any list, it would probably fall in a horror list. So I'm like, let me throw it on there. So that's my number two. All right, Lloyd, what do you got for your runner-up, man? What's your number two?
My number two is a film that you already mentioned, The Blair Witch Project.
Wow, number two. I like it. Okay, talk about it.
When I saw this film for the first time, I guess I was in middle school, and I watched this film, and I could not sleep. Mm-hmm. I had to have the lights on in my room because I was so terrified by this movie. It had me, as the kids say, shook.
Shook AF, yeah. No.
I know Justin will disagree, but I am on the edge of my seat every time I watch this movie. It's so tense. The way it, to me, it's one of the most effective examples of the found footage genre because you could mistake it for being real. It does feel very authentic. Mm-hmm. One of my kind of cliches that I like to rag on in movies when people are just wandering around in the woods, I really dislike that, but it makes sense for this story about documentary team going into the woods to find this folktale legend that they've been researching. Mm-hmm. And the paranoia builds and builds because people go missing. You don't know what's going on. They find these mysterious things. They hear sounds outside. The sound in this film is so effective. Mm-hmm. It's more about what you don't see than what you do, because Let's be honest, you don't see a lot in this movie. But to me, that will always be more effective. And that's why I found Adam Wingard's new Blair Witch kind of soft reboot / sequel that he did a few years back so disappointing, is because, hey, let's show everything. To me,
I still liked it better and was more entertained by that than...
Really? That's your prerogative, you know?
It is. But I was still disappointed by it, so there's that.
Blair Witch really... The Blair Witch Project really captured my imagination. It tapped into my fears of being lost and alone in the woods. It's a watershed movie. It changed horror movies. It changed movie marketing. It changed movies. And I don't think a list of top 90s horror movies is complete without it. So
boo,
it's my number two.
Boo.
I like
Get
it, man.
Boo,
hey, you know, I agree with it. And I love the term minimalistic horror. And I feel like Blair Witch is that. There's, like you said, you don't see a lot. A lot doesn't happen, but you feel like it's coming any moment. And the ending of that film is one of the greatest endings to a horror movie that I've seen. Just the build up to that 30 seconds at the end to me was worth it.
And there's a whole mythology behind it, too. You can do research about the mythology of the Blair Witch online. And again, I can see it being explored in sequels and it being really interesting and a lot you can dive into. I just don't think Book of Shadows or whatever that cash grab sequel was, or Adam Wingard's Blair Witch, as much as I wanted to like it, did not really...
Book of Shadows? Can we get drunk and watch that tonight?
You want to watch Book of Shadows,
yeah,
colon, Blair Witch 2?
Yeah, let's watch it.
Emphasis on the colon.
Then we can watch Carrie 2, The Rage.
Get out of here.
I wish I was closer to you guys. I'd be there. All right, well, obviously I agree with the pick, Lloyd. I'm so happy that at least one of you guys is on my Blair Witch bandwagon there, so thank you so much. And we're up to Justin's number two. What's your runner-up, brother?
Candyman.
Yep.
Candyman.
Good pick.
Candyman. 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 Okay. All right. I think I'm safe. Now, this is just a movie that literally as a kid scared I'm still scared of it now, honestly. Like, there's something about this movie. It's very different from other horror films in the sense that it's very urban. It sets you into a world that you're not used to seeing in horror films. And then when shit hits the fan, you least expect it. And what happens to this character in this film is just literally the most horrific thing possible.
Do you believe in me?
Keep away from me!
I have the child. Allow me to take you, or he will die in your place. Your disbelief destroyed the faith of my congregation. Without them, I am nothing. So I was obliged to come. And now, I must kill you. Your death will be a tale to frighten children, to make lovers cling closer in their rapture. Come with me, and be immortal.
And I think that even though a lot of horror fans keep the Candyman character in high regard, the movies that went on after the first one are not necessarily all that full of quality, but the imagery and the character himself is a true horror icon. You just imagine Tony Todd with that coat with the fur around his neck and the hook. And when you see that between the bees and everything, like it just, it's something that's so iconic. And that film is just all atmosphere. That's all that it is. And you never know what's going to happen in it. It's just constant dread and suspense and darkness. Like, there's nothing happy about Candyman at all. And I think that just goes back to Clive Barker and the dark worlds that he creates when he writes his characters. And I just, there's something special about the first Candyman. Like, I'll watch the sequels. They are what they are. But I think the first one is a truly special horror gem of the 90s.
That's awesome. I agree with you. Loy, you like the Candyman as well?
Justin might kill me, but I don't think I've ever seen it from beginning to end.
It's over there. It's over there. It's right now. You can watch that after we watch Carrie 2, The Rage.
Right after Book of
you
Shadows.
You mean The Rage, yeah, exactly. Colon, Carrie 2?
Triple feature.
No, but I tried watching it when I was younger and it scared me too much. I had to turn it off.
It's very scary. You know, like I said, when we see... It goes into your psyche in more ways than one when it's like, okay, we're going into a place that, especially if you're watching it as a white male, you live in like middle class suburbia and you're going and you're seeing like these really dark African-American ghettos that are really uncomfortable to look at because you're not used to it when you're that young. You're like, oh, wow, places like this actually exist. So it makes you uncomfortable in that sense. Then you already have this feeling that something horrific's going to happen. So there's murder and then there's supernatural stuff. Like right. It's literally a mixed bag of like all these different things that'll scare you, especially if you're younger or you're not really that cultured.
Right.
I would love to give it another shot. Because I'm a huge horror fan and I've manned up a little bit and I don't really get scared by horror movies like I used to. So I'd love to really watch it from beginning to end. Again, I've seen bits and pieces. I kind of watched it through my fingers and at some point I just kind of had to turn it off.
Yeah, I can remember it being really frightening as well, but I haven't seen it in so many years. I recollect it specifically, but I think it's a great pick and I saw it on a ton of lists when I was doing my research. So The Candyman is Justin's number two, which brings us up to our number ones, guys. So I'll go first. I am surprised this hasn't gotten mentioned yet unless you guys are about to mention it, but so I'll set it up this way. So one of the reasons why this is my number one horror movie of the 90s, and is probably, I haven't made this list, so don't yell at me too loudly, but if I was making a list of just horror in general, it would probably be in my top five. And we talked about Wes Craven already. But I'll put it to you like this. You know, you have the hockey mask for Jason, right? You have Shatner's mask for Halloween for Michael Myers. And then you've got the Ghostface mask from Scream. It has become that iconic, that image of that killer, that slasher. And Scream from 1996 is my number one horror movie of the 90s.
I ask a question. If you get it right, Steve lives.
Please don't do that.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Please.
It's an easy category.
Please.
Movie trivia. I'll even give you a warm-up question.
Don't do this, I can't.
Name the killer in Halloween.
No.
Come on, it's your favorite scary movie, remember? He had a white mask, he stalked the babysitters.
No.
Come on, yes you do.
Please.
What's his name?
I can't.
Steve's counting on you.
Michael Myers.
Yes! Very good. Now for the real question.
No!
Oh, you're doing so well. We can't stop now.
Stop, leave us alone.
Then answer the question. Same category.
Oh,
Please stop.
Name the killer in Friday the 13th.
Jason! Jason! Jason!
I'm sorry. That's the wrong answer.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It was Jason.
Afraid not? No way.
Listen, it was Jason. I saw that movie 20 goddamn times.
Then you should know Jason's mother, Mrs. Voorhees, was the original killer. Jason didn't show up until the sequel. I'm afraid that was a wrong answer.
You tricked me.
Lucky for you, there's a bonus round. But poor Steve, I'm afraid he's out.
Like I said, it's one of my favorite horrors of all time.
I could just ask you, but you already answered the question I was going to ask you. What's your favorite scary movie? But you just told me one of them at least. No, honestly, I was going to ask you. Is this yours too?
It's my number one.
It's my number one too. Let's just talk about it, guys.
Great.
Because
let's talk about
it. It's all of our number one. Like I had a feeling it was going to be this way, but
we did this when we did teen movies of the 80s because we all named Back to the Future, and then we just ended up talking about it. So I tell you what we'll do. So it's all three of our number ones. So I won't go too deep then. So let's tell me, we can go around the horn, and what is your favorite like scene or character from Scream or both? Lloyd, do you want to go first?
It has one of the best opening scenes in film history. Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
You can't touch that. I mean, like, there's so many things about this movie that I love. And it's one of those comfort movies, like when I feel down or I feel happy or I'm drunk or I'm sober, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I can put that movie in and it takes me back to a place. I remember renting it from Video King down the street from me, and my grandmother and my aunt, my very religious aunt, watched it with me and they both liked it, which I found very strange.
Right, right.
But I mean, it's just like, it is the true icon of horror in the 90s, and it also set the bar for 90s horror after that. Mm-hmm. It also basically reinvigorated the money in the horror franchise. After this, you could make a horror movie and it would be profitable again. Where up until that point, a lot of the other movies we were talking about, they made a little bit here and there, but like horror was like, at that point, it was like, you know, old hat. Like, okay, it's not the 80s anymore. You can't get these giant, huge, big returns on these movies anymore. But Scream showed, even though it was slow, it was a process getting there, much like the original Halloween, that with a smart script and a really good, great horror director, I should just say great director in general, but great horror director, you can have this special gem. And what I think that's so special about it is it picks apart the genre. It talks about the genre. It talks about the fans. And it's a movie for the fans because Kevin Williamson wrote it as a fan. He sat down one night. He was scared. He saw something on the news about a murder that had happened. And he said, you know, I've seen all these horror movies. Like, maybe I should write something about that. And he literally took, I mean, Billy Loomis, come on. Who the fuck is he named after? Come on. I mean, there's like all these little Easter eggs and everything into all these old horror movies. I think Halloween is playing on the TV as people are getting slaughtered at the party. Like, it's just
right.
How can you not love this movie? Like, I love Neve Campbell in the movie, and you said favorite character, so I mean, oh god, Randy.
Oh, now that's in poor taste.
What
if you were the only suspect in a senseless bloodbath? Would you be standing in the horror section?
Well, it was just a misunderstanding. He didn't do anything.
You're such a little lapdog. He's got killer printed all over his forehead.
Okay. Really? Why'd the cops let him go, smart guy?
Because obviously they don't watch enough movies. This is standard horror movie stuff. Prom Night Revisited, man.
Yeah? Why would he want to kill his own girlfriend?
There's always some stupid bullshit reason to kill your girlfriend. That's the beauty of it all. Simplicity. Besides, if it gets too complicated, you lose your target audience.
Well, what's his reason?
Maybe Sydney wouldn't have sex with him.
What, is she saving herself for you?
Maybe. Now that Billy tried to mutilate her, do you think Sid would go out with me?
No, I don't at all. No.
Randy, I can see that.
I can most relate to the guy. He's the nerdy kid that wants the hot chick that'll never get the hot chick and works at the video store, but yet knows everything about film.
That's right. He's the horror genius. He's you guys. He's you guys.
I think he's more of you than me.
You're probably right.
You just gotta get that little mini, like the little goatee at the end there.
No.
I gotta say, my favorite character was Stu, Matthew Lillard's Stu.
Oh, he's
Matthew
great.
Lillard's performance in this movie is on another
Sliver
level.
Alone.
Yeah, just so funny, dude. And the ending, you know, when you find out, you know, Billy and Stu are together. I mean, I didn't see that coming. I don't know about you guys, but Wes Craven and everyone involved just did such a good job of kind of, it's like a whodunit, right? Like you're trying to figure out who's wearing the mask and who's terrorizing the town, and you're just picking apart all these suspects. But I never thought, well, there's two people working together until right then when it happened. So that was an awesome plot twist at the time for me that really kind of knocked me off the edge of my seat. And you already mentioned the opening scene. I mean, come on, forget about it. Drew Barrymore, who is just a giant marquee name, is in the movie for 5 minutes because she gets killed.
Which was all her idea, too, which I love that. Like, originally, she was supposed to play the lead character in the film, and she came back later and said, I don't want to do that. Like, what if I'm, like, on all the posters, all the marketing materials, but I'm the first girl, the girl that gets killed off in the... Because when you watch the film and you see it's Drew Barrymore, you're like, okay, she's fine. Nothing's going to happen to her.
Right.
When you see her hanging from the fucking tree, gutted, and it's the most disturbing thing ever, and it, like, zooms in that really... The camera work in that shot is just brilliant. And the music just swells. And it's like scream. Literally, you're like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
It's awesome. It's just a great movie from beginning to end. So many good characters in it. Henry Winkler is just hilarious in it. It's a great film. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And I'm so glad that you guys put it number one also. But it's definitely my
favorite
horror movies.
I'd like to mention that 3 decades in a row, Wes Craven kind of redefined the horror genre. In the 70s, it was Last House on the Left. In the 80s, it was Nightmare on Elm Street. And in the 90s, it was Scream. 3 decades in a row, this man completely changed the way horror movies were made.
Yeah.
And God bless him. I miss him so much.
I do too.
Just,
I agree.
You got to forget about Cursed. He made Cursed after Scream, but that's fine.
Oh. There was another movie that I wanted to put on this list, The People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, we're going to do honorable mentions here in a second. But yeah, you're right about Wes Craven. I mean, just a freaking genius, dude. And you know, we were talking about New Nightmare, and it's kind of like nobody put Scream 2, which I believe was in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
I love Scream 2.
I love Scream 2 as well. It was the first Scream movie I actually saw in the theater.
But Scream 2, with the whole stab storyline, was kind of a New Nightmare kind of feel, where there's kind of like, is it movie, is it real? So you can kind of see that kind of coming back around full circle there. But yeah, I love Wes Craven too, man. Rest in peace. So let's do a few honorable mentions, guys. We all matched up there on Scream being our number one. Lois Sauce, you said People Under the Stairs. Do you have any other honorable mentions you want to give a shout out to, brother?
Oh, plenty. I think The Exorcist 3 is very underrated. John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness. Mm-hmm. Ringu, which is the Japanese original of The Ring.
Yeah.
Kurosawa's Cure. Hanukkah's Funny Games. Guillermo del Toro's Kronos. The Witches, based on the Roald Dahl book, absolutely scared the bejesus out of me when I was a young child. And I still consider that a horror film, even though it's a children's horror film. Mm-hmm. Still a horror film. From Dusk Till Dawn is great. Again, The Sixth Sense. Yeah, you could. That kind of toes the line of a horror movie. You could consider it a horror movie, certainly. Army of Darkness, again, I consider more of a comedy, but I love it so much. And Event Horizon, which starts out as a cool, fun space exploration flick and turns into a nightmare.
It really did get really gory. I just rewatched that last week. It didn't hold up as much for me because when I did my list
originally... It's not a great film, but it's scary.
When I did my list originally, Event Horizon was my number 5. And when I rewatched it, I took it off and put it on my honorable mentions. It just didn't hold up as... It didn't scare me like it did back then. But that's on my honorable mentions too, so that's interesting. Justin, do you have any over there, man, that didn't get mentioned yet today?
Oh, I definitely do. And I don't care if I get shit for this, but we're just talking about Scream. I loved all of its knockoffs. And I know what you did last summer. I love that movie so much. I think it's definitely less horrific than Scream. It's way more teeny bopper-esque and for the teenies at the theater that weekend. But I still love it. I love Jennifer Love Hewitt bouncing around constantly and yelling in the air.
Of course.
I'm just saying, I watch it every 4th of July and I love it. One movie that's more science fiction than horror, but it's a movie that doesn't get talked about a lot, but Fire in the Sky. It's one of the most horrific movies I've ever watched my entire life. When I was a kid, I watched that on HBO. And I couldn't sleep for weeks because the abduction footage is probably the most realistic that was ever put on film, and still to this day. And I keep telling you, you need to watch that movie. Because
never seen it.
Robert Patrick's in it, T-1000, baby. Have you seen that one, Gerald?
No, I have not. I've heard of it, but I have not seen it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a sleeper. Like, it didn't do very well or anything, but, like, it's extremely frightening. Halloween H2O.
I was going to mention that too.
Really? I fucking love that movie. Yeah, dude. Like, it's literally, like, for me, out of the sequels, Loisos and I, we actually talked about the whole Halloween franchise last October.
It's my second favorite.
And, oh, wow. Didn't know that. Wow.
I said that on the podcast.
I forget what you say. I don't listen to our own podcast. Do you think I listen to it? No. It's not for me to listen to. I heard you say it live, but I forget about it. But I still care about what you, I still care about what you say. No, for real. I mean, like, I do. I saw this one in the theater opening weekend, and it's the one that I think has the most spirit of John Carpenter's original. People give it a lot of shit because of Josh Hartnett's haircut. I mean, really? Come on, dude.
Oh, they'll find something to complain about, bro. Don't worry.
But I love it. I actually do love H2O with all the different mask changes and everything. And other than that, like, Interview with the Vampire, I find still to this day a pretty good movie. Probably more of a drama than a horror film.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going to say this, because I want to give shit to Justin Winters, because I got shit on the 90s movie draft because of this, but I'm going to say Wishmaster just for you, Winters, if you ever listen to this.
Well, he listens,
I'm going to mention Wishmaster.
He listens to these bonuses, so I'm sure he'll love that. Well, you guys have mentioned most of mine at one point or another. You said I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream 2 I had on here, Event Horizon, and Funny Games, which I believe Lloyd mentioned, which is a really kind of fucked up home invasion film. And then there was a few that we touched on, but I don't know. I just couldn't bring myself to put Silence of the Lambs in a horror list. I mean, there's
I can't do it. It's separate to me. It's separate. And I get why people... They like to put it in that category, and I don't disrespect if they do, but for me, it's not a straight horror film. You can argue that it is, but I mean, at the same, like, for me, I just keep it separate. Same thing with Seven. Like, they have great horror elements, but at their core, they're not horror films.
Right. There's suspense thriller kind of with elements of horror. So I couldn't put Silence of the Lambs on there, even though that's just a fantastic film. I just don't consider it a horror film, so I threw it on my honorable mentions. All right, so that's it, guys. So I want to thank these guys so much. Brian, Lloyd, Justin, you guys are awesome. You guys know I love you. Thank you so much for being here. Do you guys want to give
thanks
a
shout out? Thanks for having us.
Of course, man. Do you guys want to real quick tell everybody where they can look you guys up online? J-Man, go for it. You always do your cool little www thing. Do that.
www.epicfilmguys.com. That's www.epicfilmguys.com. And yeah, and I want to thank you personally on the show, Gerald, for all of your support for the live stream for the Caravan. It literally warmed my heart seeing you and your family with the mugs and everything with the beer. It was fantastic. And everyone listening out there that supported the cause and everything like that. But it's definitely, for me, like, a huge pleasure. Like, I love coming on your show and just talking about whatever the hell you want to talk about. Literally, I don't care. If you want to talk about, like, top 10 Disneys.
Why didn't you guys have Troll 2 on your list of best horror films of the 90s?
Why didn't you? Where is it, Brian?
Look, guys, you know I love you. Thanks so much for being here. All their information, all my information will be in the show notes. Make sure you check them out. And until next time, this has been another bonus of 2Ps. For Justin, Loy, this is Gerald signing off. Until next time. Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.